Welcome to Light Body Wisdom with internationally known Light Body Whisperer, Grace Holm. She will make you laugh and yawn as you release lifetimes of trauma and begin to feel much lighter. Your divine gifts may be activated, allowing you to weave light into the fabric of the world. Are you ready to be your own light and shine? For more information about Grace, visit gracegholm.com. That's gracegholm.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Light Body Wisdom. And as you all know, we got a special guest today. There it is. There he is, Kenji from, I was going to say from Sedona, but you're in North Carolina. Oh, yeah. Let me have you unmuted. I'm sorry. Unmute. I'm going to unmute my guest. Kenji, unmute. Ask to unmute. There you go. Speaker view.
You unmuted him and then you muted him back again. He's muted back again. There's a red mic on his corner. So unmute him again. Or Kenji, you can unmute yourself by going to the dot.
Okay, I'm going to mute everybody and then I'm going to unmute. And there you go.
Okay.
Okay. Give me a moment to introduce Kenji to you all. I know that most of you already know Kenji Kimura because he has been on over 50 TeleSummit interviews. Is that right?
No, probably closer to 70, but yeah, 50 will do.
Okay. 50, close to 70. Oh my goodness. You must be busy creating packages.
No, that was in the early days. That was like from 2012 to about 15, 16.
Oh. Wow. So Kenji, from the bio that I sent out to everyone on my list, it looks like you've been exploring alternative stuff since you were a child, since you were 5 years old. You asked your mother who you are, and then you didn't like her answer.
She says, "You're Japanese." That was it. And so that began.
Your existential question as a five-year-old, you were exploring existentialism as a five-year-old. Oh my God. And you didn't like adult answers, even as a five-year-old.
Yes, I was a little bit of a hyperactive rebel child that always got in trouble. And for you folks to know, I almost did not graduate from high school. I was so like not liking high school. So I almost didn't graduate.
Wow. I can't imagine the pressure. Hello, you're supposed to be like an accomplished Asian American model minority, Kenji. You ruined the model minority.
I didn't fit the stereotype, did I? Oh, geez.
No, but you started with questions like that as a five-year-old, and then you didn't fit in, and somewhere in your life, you started studying so many things. I can hardly read the list of all that you were certified in. So what were you searching? What were you searching for through all those studies with teachers and seminars and webinars and legal and illegal stuff? I'm just kidding. Okay, you don't have to cover that stuff. I'm kidding.
I guess I was searching for God. But you know, when I was a teenager, I never told anybody, but when I was, 14, 15, I used to think to myself, when I'm alone, like walking down the street, maybe coming home from school, I would think, God, I miss my Friday lessons with my teacher. I distinctly remember feeling that a lot as a teenager. Like, I miss my teacher and I miss my Friday lessons. So must have been in past lives where I would have my weekly lessons on Friday. And so I missed that. There was also another part, I think, that I was kind of upset with God, and I don't know why, but I remember as a teenager also, I don't know if I was angry at God, but I just like was upset with him for some reason, some unknown reason. I never could figure that one out. But also as a teenager, I wanted to know how Jesus healed and how Buddha meditated. And I never had read anything about them, right? So how did I know? How did I know about Buddha before I even read a book about him?
Wow. Did you think you were angry?
Oh, Grace, your volume is very low.
My volume is very low. Okay, volume. Okay. How is that right now?
No, still can't hear you.
Still can't hear me. Okay. Can everybody else hear me? Let me know in the chat box if you can hear me.
Yeah, Randa says very little as well.
Low. Okay. Too low. Wow. What do I do? Let me see. Very low. Very faint. No volume. Oh my gosh. I wonder what is going on. See, I shouldn't be.
Still can't hear you.
Still can't hear me. Okay. Wow. I was fine. My gosh.
Check your microphone settings if you're on a mic.
Yes, I am on my usual settings. That
I can barely hear you, but I can't understand what you're saying.
Okay. I wonder. No background noise. No background noise. No background noise. I wonder if people can hear you.
Okay, we need some tech angels here.
Okay. Hi, I wonder Facebook, if you were seeing me on Facebook, can you hear me? Okay, you can't hear me on Facebook either. Wow.
Hey, Grace, I wonder if the Facebook Live feed is interfering with your audio on Zoom.
Wow.
Hey, if anybody has an idea, put it in the chat box.
Grace, there's a couple people on there that aren't muted, I noticed, and the participants. Like I noticed, who was it? I saw James, and then there was a Jeanette or somebody, but everybody needs to be muted because what happens is their background noise makes it so then we can't hardly hear you. I've had that happen on other Zoom conferences.
Okay, let me mute all. Okay, I'm going to mute all. And Kenji can still. Okay, let me see if I can turn. Maybe I have to turn off myself on Facebook Live. So, okay, Facebook Live, let me turn off Facebook Live. Is that what I need to do? Live on Facebook, so maybe stop live stream. Okay, can you hear me now?
There's still three people that aren't muted on the participant panel, I see.
And then I'm going to unmute Kenji. Asked on mute. Can you hear me now? Still low. Better. Okay. Yes. Okay. I see it. Yes. Better. Okay. Okay. So some people can hear me now. Very good. Okay. Okay. It's good now. Okay. Good. Good. So now I just got to unmute Kenji. I don't know what I did to upset the whole. What did I do? Yes, here you go. Yay.
So you want to hear something funny. So yesterday I was on a meet-in video call with a client and the system knocked me totally out of the call. And we're in the middle of an activation. So that's how weird it's getting.
Well, yeah, let me just see what else is interfering with this call. I was asking you if you think God is angry at you because you were feeling all the projections and judgments from the people around you. And then you
Oh.
Right? Because you're so inclusive.
Thank you. Yeah, because I had a lot of prejudice growing up. A lot of anti-Japanese hatred. You know, because of Pearl Harbor and the war. So thank you. See, Grace is really good at that. She's really good at tuning in stuff. You have no idea, right? Thank you, Grace.
Oh, yeah. You're so welcome. So let's clear anywhere in our bodies where you still hold on to all our projections. And so it's not God and all the pain you wanted God to heal. Let's clear all the anger we want God to heal. Ooh. And this is critical to bring this up at this moment because, well, you know, you know how our president blames blames COVID on Asian people. So a different iteration of that is showing up in the world. So it's important that we clear this field of energy. We're like the Asian AA team.
Yeah.
Asian American team. We got to be the AA team to clear all that prejudice against Asians right now because of, COVID brings up so many different issues, but one of them is this prejudice towards Asians and foreigners in general. Asian A-team. Yeah, we're the Asian A-team, you guys. And we may as well just clear everything that created this virus. Let that in right now. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm supposed to be interviewing. What the hell am I doing? Okay. I'm sorry.
Can't help yourself. We all know that. You can't help yourself. It's a Chinese thing, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Back to you in Berkeley. So you were growing up in Berkeley, didn't like people around you, and you knew it. And all those projections you have to grow up with, that must be heavy on your system. Yeah.
That was. I actually was very lonely, I think, because of that. And obviously, and this, you know, anybody with other than white ethnicity would relate to this. But I felt, because I was Japanese, I felt like I would never get a girlfriend, which I never did really. And I felt like I probably would never fit in to the white Caucasian group mind thing. So I became a loner, basically. Socially, I felt outcasted.
Oh, I wonder how many can relate to this. How many people can relate to being not the black sheep of the family, but the black sheep of the world? Is that what you're saying? You're not just the black sheep in your family, but kind of like the black sheep of the world.
And speaking of that, I was the only one in the greater family. So my grandparents had a lot of kids. And so I had a lot of aunts and uncles and cousins and nephews and all that. And my dad had five sisters. And I was the only one, probably to this day, aside from my cousin, who was the daughter of one of my dad's sisters. Besides my cousin and myself, nobody went metaphysical. We were the only two out of everybody that went metaphysical. Everybody else was a Methodist churchgoer. You know, don't create waves, just fit in and go to church and all that. And you know, the funny thing was, up until I was about 40, my parents' minister, or the minister of the church that my dad would go to on occasion, he always tried to convert me because he thought I was a lost hippie type. Yeah.
So being different and having to survive being different allow you to have this enormous courage to be who you are, doesn't it? I mean, because a lot of what you do for some people, it's so out there, but you have the courage to totally bring all that out. Whereas I know many of you who are tuning in right now, you are all, I think more than 90% of you are like healers and waiting. Wait no more. Waiting. Healers and waiting.
Yeah. Well, I'm sort of out of the closet sometimes.
Yeah.
Like how many of you folks can actually converse with your parents and to let them know exactly what you do and who you are? Probably, you know, probably still, because that generation, right? They don't understand.
Oh, my family just prays that I'm doing something legal, ethical, and don't end up in jail or the mental hospital, that I stay out of jail and the mental hospital.
Yeah, mental hospital for sure. Yeah, you don't want to go in there. Or you would disgrace the family name, and then you would have to, like, you know, go run away somewhere.
Yeah, and I think it's so extraordinary that you are able to stay so authentic to who you are. How do you do that? It's so incredible from the outside, enormous courage, but my God, against the background you're in, being in Berkeley and with, you know, that whole community in Northern California or anywhere, you know, that part of the world is very much totally intellectual, and even the hippies an expectation for Asians, model minorities, to be the A students and go to UC Berkeley or go to law school and be the partner and so many things. And yet through and through, you stay true to who you are. That is just such a magnificent thing. Do you know that?
No, I had no idea. Seriously. Yeah. Well, thank you. I mean, you know, some of my friends or former friends, you know, as I look back on my life, because this lockdown has kind of like made me reflect on my life. And like where I was 40 years ago or 30 years ago, and I go, God, I made it through that. But some of my friends used to tell me that they don't know how I'm able to do what I do alone, because I did most of it physically alone. But I guess they were kind of amazed that of my perseverance and my willingness to keep going. They would say, you know, for most people to experience what you did, they would have given up. They would have committed suicide or like just given up. And I would say, well, I never thought about that, but you know, life has been very hard for me early on.
Yeah.
Not anymore, but like, yeah, it was very hard. It was like, and I never contemplated, you know, taking my life or anything, but I go, there was parts of my life where I go, how am I going to make it through this situation? I've got no money. I hardly know anybody in this area. I don't really have any soul family. My parents, they don't understand me. How am I going to, by the grace of God, I've always made it through these periods in my life, but I could not tell you how I did it. You know, I went through bankruptcy, credit card debt, and went a year without a car. I didn't know how I was going to get out of debt. That was the main, one of the biggest ones was, how am I going to get out of like $70,000 credit card debt? I kept praying to God every day. And then I realized.
$70,000
debt.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And in so many ways, like the way you are in the world, you are very much like a mystic in the world, because you're able to be alone to receive higher guidance, and you're able to interact with people, and your alone time is a pretty significant way for you to receive higher guidance, isn't it?
Yeah, I like being alone in a way, but you know, I like everybody else. I need to be with people. So like tomorrow, I'm going to meet some new people and have a coffee with a new soul sister that just moved to Asheville, you know, and that's good for me because I need to meet new people and kind of get out of my aloneness a bit, but I do love my quietness. I love my aloneness. And as you guys all know, I love nature. I love the quiet of nature. You know, it goes back to all those lifetimes in China and Japan and India and the Himalayas and South America and not so much Egypt. Too many people in those lifetimes. I'm Randa. Randa's on the call. She's probably nod her head wherever she is.
Yeah. Well, everyone who is a healer in waiting and who's also in debt, like I was too, because I spent money thinking that the next seminar, I'm going to get it. The next webinar on this, this, and this, I'm going to get it. Like spend 2000 here, another 600 here, another 2000 here, another 700 here. And pretty soon you're pretty much in debt. I was in a pretty desperate situation myself. And even worse, I did not know how to ask for money. So like I did healing on someone and they're like, oh, how much do I owe you? I'm like, whatever you have is okay. And that bitch gave me 4 fucking bagels and I never forget that. And from then on, like, these 4 fucking bagels on this fucking work. I am never gonna let anyone fuck me up like that again.
You're the 4 bagel lady. All right.
4. That means she ate 2. And I'm like, I so don't like getting gifts when someone has already taken something out. That's not even gift giving. I was like, no. So I couldn't even ask for money, but those 4 bagels made me learn a hard lesson. So I know so many of you on this call are also in that space of feeling like, I don't know how to get my service out there. I don't know how, blah, blah, blah. Well, here's someone who done it. So tell us, Kenji, so that we don't just end up eating bagels.
Okay. I'm going to change the scene. Now I'm in Sedona. Okay. So I just teleported. So it's just that easy, you guys, to go from Australia to Sedona, just like that. I was told from the other side.
How many bagels did that take? I'm just kidding.
Yeah. You know, a lot has to do with how, okay, say you're a healer in waiting, or you got your foot halfway out of the closet and you're making yourself known. And if you have a website, and say you just have a simple website, what I've learned is your website has to express the essence of you and what your offering is to the world. So that takes the right kind of image and the right kind of content worded correctly and all that stuff. What's just as important, I feel, is the tech team that works with you, unless you can do it yourself, which is rare, but some of you can do that. So I am blessed to have Michael as my teammate. And he came at a time where I was praying. I knew I had to make a change in my team because they were literally dragging me down and pulling on my energy. And it took me months for Michael to show up, but I kept being open to the change. And he came at the very right time in my life.
Oh, he designed your website.
No, he's taking care of the back end.
Oh, the back end. Okay.
Yeah. But you know, when I moved to Sedona, that was a big change for me from Seattle. And 5 years ago, I had a website redesign.
Mm.
And here's the thing that I've learned. These young kids, both men and women, that are in their late 20s to mid 30s, they're very gifted. And if you can hire someone in that age range,
late 20s.
Very, very good, because they have a perspective that our generation doesn't have in a way, and they learn really quickly. They're self-learners. You know, we had to kind of learn through studying books, but they can just pick it up, as you know, they can pick it up really quick. But it's good to have that generation on my team. I really feel that makes a difference. But here's the thing, what I'm learning. So I'm taking the next step, you guys. And this call is part of my taking the next step into the next platform and bringing forth, shall we say, information that I've been hesitant to share and teach. Only because I used to believe that it was too far out there, if you know what I mean. Like too far out there. So I'm not going to concern myself with that anymore.
Wow.
I'm going to present and just let it be how it goes out into the world. But you know, what I learned on my search was I couldn't compromise like whatever kind of healing work that I was offering the world at that time. I had to be, as you would say, authentic, but it's basically just being a clear channel. So when I studied Traeger body work, back in 1981, from Dr. Traeger, was a medical doctor who gave up his practice in Hawaii to teach this energy that came through him spontaneously. He began to teach it, and I fell in love with the work. What's my point? I guess my point is that I've stayed true to his understanding of the work and how to present it. Because I've seen other people study that a particular system and kind of modify it. But I've always been the kind of person where, you know, if you're going to be taught something, don't modify it. Keep it as the way how you learned it. And if you want to do other stuff, go do it, but don't blend it, because then it becomes another kind of soup, shall we say. That's just my understanding of keeping someone's teachings clean and pure, as well as your own. I don't know how we got to that point, but I guess it must be relevant.
Well, yeah, because I think at this
raise your volume, Grace.
Okay. Oh boy, I don't know how to raise my volume. I think I can. Everybody hear me? So that was my.
You're a little bit low,
yes,
in volume, but I can still hear you. Are you on a mic or your computer?
I'm on my computer, and I do have a mic, but then I have to unplug my keyboard, because I have a portable keyboard that needs to use the USB.
Can you get closer to your computer physically?
Yes.
Or just speak louder. Speak in a very loud Chinese voice, like, you know.
You can't pay me enough bagels to speak up, damn it.
Yeah, there you go, that voice. that bagel voice. Right, Rhonda?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The bagel voice, all right. So that's gonna be our signal. When you start getting low on voice, I would just say bagel voice, and then you'll know to raise your voice and get closer to your computer.
Bagel voice. Let's come up with a better name than bagels, because that makes me want to scream. Oh, but that's probably why you want to call it bagel voice, because it makes me want to scream. Pay me bagels, or I will scream at you.
That's what we can get for your Christmas present or even your Thanksgiving present. Everybody mail Grace some bagels. Overnight delivery. FedEx it overnight.
Yeah, so your point about staying true to the teaching, I really appreciate that, because, you know, I've seen you on telesummits, and you stay true to the message. You don't get salesy. You don't get sucked into that whole salesy thing. And I think that too is amazing, because I think that one of the reasons why some people don't communicate exactly what they know in the way that is true is because they need to alter things a little bit in order to sell.
Oh, yeah, I've always been cognizant of don't do that, because when I see other people do it, it just turns me off and I just tune them out. Yeah. So all you guys that don't do that in your presentations, very nice.
Yes.
Yeah. But again, see, again, it's like, how do you present yourself? How do you present yourself to the world on an online event? Do you have to alter? This is just questions, rhetorical questions, not for you to answer tonight, but it's like, are you altering yourself to present in a certain way when you're in the public eye? Or are you really yourself? And I know a lot of people have a hard time being spontaneously funny in public. Here's what I try to do. It's a little secret, you guys. And I've done this for, I don't know, I can't remember for how long, but I just, it's natural for me to go out in public and start talking to people I don't even know, just to create conversation. Like when I'm in line at the grocery store, I'll usually talk to somebody in line because I don't want to sit there and look at the floor like a dummy, right? We're not here to do that. We're here to communicate. So my natural inclination, I got this from my dad, I think, because my dad used to be a checker at a grocery store. Mm-hmm. And he used to talk to everybody. And I used to watch him. And I go, wow, my dad's really cool. I mean, he's like, he can talk to every customer that comes through the line there. And he was really natural about it. And I think maybe that rubbed off on me.
Mm.
But I just have a natural tendency to want to talk to strangers and just communicate, say hello or compliment them on whatever, you know.
And I think that really comes across in your interviews on TeleSummit, because you come across as a natural and you are not salesy and you are just you. And then your energy just starts shifting and changing things and changing people. Because I remember in every interview that I ever listened to, whether you were on Darius or Jeanette or what Jennifer McLean, every time you're on, I can just feel the energy of the room changing just by being there. And before you even start doing activations, before you even start doing anything, the energy of the space that we're in just starts changing. No matter where I am, when I'm listening to those calls where you're on, the energy in the whole room and the whole space just starts changing. And so many people are able to feel shifts just by listening to the replays. Like there's a couple interviews you have on YouTube that I watch and listen to. It took a few times before I can stay awake throughout the session. Thank you for shining your light and weaving grace into the fabric of the world. For more on my work, please visit gracegham.com or lightbodywisdom.com. Thank you and namaste. Thank you.